Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
We are back. I'm Steve Perrault. That's Joey Capone. This is Inside the Monster, episode 11, presented by Odyssey. And this team hates us.
Yeah. Yep.
This team does not like us.
No.
We are, I don't want to say we. I hate when people throw the we around. The Red Sox are 0-6. On our last six recording days, Joey and I were crunching the numbers before this episode. The Sox in the last three-game series. Keep up with me here. This is really a lot to keep up with. In their last three-game series, it's all gone exactly the same. They have won game one and then lost games two and three. And if you're a Sox fan listening, first off, this clean 40 today is going to be a therapy session. I think, Joey, I think you and I need this. We have a pretty brutal record going to the games.
Yeah.
You know, the view's obviously great up here. We're in the WEI booth. So
but
we got a great
about
view.
It, dude, but that's about it.
That's about it
this
with the good times.
This looks great when nobody's here and there's no one on the field.
It's a wonderful place. You got a good view of the skyline and everything. But that's the deal. If you're listening and you feel like it's the same feelings over and over and over again, it's because they're going through the same exact cycles over and over and over again. They'll win the first game, give you a little bit of hope. Game one in this series, you win 4-0. Angels only get three hits. Mike Trout doesn't play in this last game on Thursday. He didn't really do much in this series. And you're feeling good, you know? Shohei, you're limiting Shohei. Today, he almost goes deep. That was a bizarre moment there with JBJ losing the ball in the sun. But I don't know, Joe. I mean, this is... There's not much you can say when the team's 10-16 and it's constantly the same issues that are leading to losses.
One of the worst stats that we uncovered right before we started recording is that the Sox have yet to win, or they haven't won two consecutive games in almost three weeks.
They haven't won two straight games. You know when you throw a stat out there and it's like, the stats that I hate are the ones that are like, they actually haven't won three games when the temperature's below 50 and the wind's coming in from the west. They just haven't won back-to-back games in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
This team can normally string wins together with ease. Last year was obviously an up-and-down season, but... They close it out. They get to the playoffs. The playoff run was a ton of fun. You're two wins away from the World Series. This team was two wins away from the World Series, and it's not much different. You bring Trevor Story in. You trade Hunter Renfro away. JBJ's back. Couple different bullpen arms. Schwarber's now in Philly. I think his average kind of stinks there, but we're always obviously going to be Schwarber guys. It's not much different a team.
No.
And it's,
no.
You know, obviously the Whitlock situation, we're about to get into that, is a big part of this, and it's mm-hmm. the 0-5 in extra innings is a huge part of this. But mm-hmm. at some point, Joey, mm-hmm. and I'm going to, this is the last time I'm going to say this. At
it's
some point,
turn around.
It's not about the bats anymore. It's not just about the bats anymore.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's the issue. I think we've all been like, oh, the bats are going to heat up. The bats are going to heat up. It's not just about the bats anymore.
No, not anymore. No. Now it's also about management of the bullpen, about who is getting these high leverage situations, who is pooping their pants on the mound kind of consistently.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street now. It's not just, oh, like we're losing games 1-0, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit of deja vu that it's always innings 7, 8, 9 that we're letting up, you know, a handful of runs. But I dropped the we, by the way. I dropped the we in there. I can't help with the we.
No, the we can be tough to avoid sometimes.
Yeah. I was going to say, on top of these new issues, there are still games where the original issue is still at play, which is that there are a lot of bats that should be kind of double what they are right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
A big one being Trevor Story, you know, who in this series did have a good game. He had a 1-2-3 RBI game.
Yeah.
Then follows it up with a 4-strikeout game.
Yeah, less than ideal. Less than ideal for Trevor Story. You think he's going to get going there. He should have. I mean, this guy, nobody wants to hit a home run more than Trevor Story, and nobody's coming closer than Trevor Story. It's going to happen soon. I'm done predicting that because that was a complete ofer. But yeah, you go down the lineup, and there's not enough situations where they're stringing together hits. There's not enough of those innings that they're all of a sudden, like, cooking. You know, it's, oh, okay, it's Doogie hits a double, and then he gets, you know, someone drives him in. Top of the lineup's doing their thing. It's then happening in the bottom of the lineup. Everyone's kind of in sync. Mm. That hasn't really happened at all this year. Like, you had that one game against the Twins, and of course we weren't here. I feel like when we're here, they just don't do anything. Like, I'm looking up at the scoreboard today, and it felt like that game in Tampa just zeros all over the place. Rich Hill gave up a hit, but that shouldn't have been a hit. I mean, Jackie loses it in the sun. Mm-hmm. A guy that I don't think I've ever seen him lose a ball in the sun before. Mm-hmm. You know, Shohei almost gets one out. That's the only hit Rich Hill gives up through 5 innings. Tanner Houck comes in. He's good for a little bit and then, you know, explodes. And it's just, there's constantly, to your point, it's when you think you've patched one issue up, the other one's like, wait, I'm still here. This is still a problem as well, I'm going to come through in this game.
It's a whack-a-mole of issues.
Yes.
You're like, oh, okay, cool. Like the pitching is actually coming up pretty hot this year, so the lineup just needs to do their job. Oh, wait. No, they're not. Oh, wait. It's patching holes all over this boat, dude. Okay, but to what you were saying there about the Rich Hill hit, we've got to talk to somebody about errors wherein an outfielder loses the ball.
It drives me nuts.
That's
error should
ridiculous.
Be an error.
That's an error.
I've never – the two things that happened today that we probably talk about the most, and they're things that I don't think most people really give a damn about, but one of them is a wild pitch or a pass ball on strike three and you just get to take first base. It still makes no sense to me. Shohei almost had the 4K inning. Which my dad was here with my dad today, so it was good to be at the old ball yard with my dad. The game couldn't have been worse for us, but you know, we're watching. My dad's like, wonder how many times it's ever happened in Major League Baseball history. I mean, this game's been around forever. It gets 97 times there's been a 4K inning. So Shohei almost pulled it off, but I still think that's so stupid that you can take first. And then, you know, the other one is that if the ball drops and it should have been caught, that should be an error. Like,
of
that shouldn't be. The fact that, like, if you know, and Hill bears down there and gets out of the inning, but if that run comes in, that shouldn't be an earned run. Like, what are we talking about?
That is the most error-looking non-error I've ever seen. I mean, Jackie looked up, shrugged, and then ducked and covered his head.
What a scary feeling, by the way. Obviously, as a player, but as a fan, when you're looking out there, it's like, he's looking the other way. Yeah. the ball's coming at him, and he's looking at the 420 on the center field wall.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not ideal. That has to be a brutal feeling when you're looking up, mm-hmm. and it's just like, first off, my head is about to explode because I'm looking right into the sun, mm-hmm. and secondly, I don't know where the ball is. Like, it's,
yeah, that's panic,
and you
man.
Know it's like around you, so there's a good chance you just get hit in the face with yeah. it. Like, that was tough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't end up being an issue. But again, I mean, I stick with the lineup. I stick with the second half of the lineup. Just so you guys know, we're not going to do a game by game breakdown. We all know what
we
happened.
Really
they lost 2
to.
Out of 3, and it was a pain in the ass. I look at the second half of the lineup, and the core is still, for the most part, doing their thing. Devers, Bogarts, JD, 284, 354, 306. Those guys that you expect to bop are bopping. Mm-hmm. JD has a homer the other night. Raffy's going to start hitting more bombs. He had one in Tampa and more to come, obviously. But Trevor Story, like you mentioned, after that huge game in game two, he goes 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts today. Two guys left on base. He's hitting .210 on the year with a .589 OPS. You look at the bottom half of the lineup here. Verdugo, yes, he's been extremely unlucky.
That's
Alex Verdugo's been
it,
extremely
yeah.
unlucky. I know Red Sox stats has been all over it, that his expected batting average is way higher than his current batting average of .217. Franchi is what he is, right? It's not, I don't expect anything from him. So the fact that he's actually, he's contributing. When he's at the plate, I'm like a little league coach where I'm like, good contact, yeah. good contact. Like, it's, if he's hitting the ball, eye on the ball, Franchi. Oh, good. Hey, not your pitch.
Good
literally right down the middle. Bobby Dalbec, we all know it has not been a great season for Bobby. Hitting .147. It's big ABs find him, and he does not come through. We all want Bob to do well, but it's just not going well for him. So, and Plawecki, obviously you don't expect much, but .154. So down the line, man, it's been tough. You know, you have your big three, which should be a big four, maybe a big five, is currently a big three with Raffy, Xander, and JD. They're all doing it, but not enough, and the rest of the lineup is absolutely not carrying their weight.
No. One thing I will say about Trevor Story is I got a hunch on the drive down here.
Yeah.
And I pulled over to the side of the highway safely so I could access my phone legally.
Okay.
And look
Smart.
Something up.
I respect that.
Okay. I had a feeling. I was like, I mean, Trevor, we see him strike out a fair amount.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He gets pissed. He throws his stuff. He's not happy. I wanted to see his BABIP. I was like, I bet he got a high BABIP. 325. He's got a 325 BABIP. When he hits the ball, he's, you know, in the upper third of the league.
Yeah.
To reach, I mean, he's just, I don't know if it's, I don't know how long the shortened spring excuse can play into it. And I mean, he had an ultra shortened spring.
Yeah.
And, you know, other family stuff going on. You can take all of that into account. You know, maybe it's a seeing the ball issue or whatever it is. But the fact of the matter is that when he does hit the ball, he's hitting the ball. You know what I mean?
That is a quote card right there. When he's hitting the ball, he's hitting the ball. If
he
you guys
is, man.
Are
he
keeping
is.
Track at home. No, I'm not that worried about Story. I mean, today he just looked overpowered by one of the best pitchers in the game. Shohei had his number today. He was gassing him. He was throwing everything past him. Trevor was late. He was late, and you know, he's swinging at high stuff, which he loves doing. He's you know, started a habit at swinging at some of these high pitches. He's swinging at balls. The Red Sox, I'm telling you, I want to love something as much as the Red Sox love swinging at balls. It is balls out of the strike zone. The Sox swing at more of them than any team in Major League Baseball, and that continues to be an issue. There was a little more plate discipline in some of the earlier games in the series. Not today. Shohei had their number, man. And Shohei, a guy that doesn't show a lot of emotion, had the scream off the mound, and I don't even blame him. He was dealing, dude. He goes, seven innings? It spreads out six hits. There really wasn't a lot of damage there.
Did not feel like it.
No, and six, like, I mean, pretty dinkies, you know. Yeah. They were pretty dinkies.
they were pretty dinky.
Yeah, JD and JBJ had doubles. Outside of that, four singles, 11 strikeouts, lowers his ERA on the season to .308. His first performance at Fenway Park, his first start on the mound at Fenway for Shohei Ohtani. You can feel it, too. Like, there's a different element at the park. We were over there. I got to say, Joey, one of my favorite parts of Fenway is watching a pitcher warm up from the seats literally
while
1 foot next to him.
Hair,
you can,
yeah.
like, smell his cologne. It's insane. Like, I... Mm. it's one of my favorite ballpark features across the bigs. Is you can literally be a foot behind the guy that's warming up to start. Mm-hmm. And it feels like a video game. Like, I love getting those videos. I love mm-hmm. getting that shot. Because it doesn't feel real. It's like, I am Shohei Ohtani. Like, you're that close. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. You see the zip coming out of his hand. And you really appreciate, you know, who he is as an athlete overall. I mean, it's ridiculous he can do what he does. He's out here gassing a hundo by these guys. And then is, you know, comes a foot away from hitting a home run into the bullpen. So it's ridiculous. I anybody that flips out about Shohei Ohtani, you're totally in the right to do it. It's one of the craziest talents I've ever seen in my life. And if anything, today it's kind of a crappy silver lining, but we got to see, you know, the first start in Shohei's career at Fenway, and he was dealing his ass off, Joey.
Yeah. So. You and I, and I think other shows in the past have kind of talked about how pitchers complaining about the fans being too close is kind of soft and whatever. Yeah. I totally get it. Dude, can you imagine
trying to... I get it, but it's like, literally, grow up. Like, it's...
But also,
you're warming up.
So
who cares?
Close. It's so close.
Oh, you're
you could
on
touch
the dude.
Him if you wanted to.
You could
to.
Easily touch him. You yeah, get kicked easily. Out, but like, it's you could easily touch the
you
dude.
Get one good touch in.
You get a
you
good
get
touch.
One good hair pull or something.
You're close enough. You could get a good touch in.
You shouldn't.
Yeah, don't do it.
You'll get thrown out.
Don't
it's
do
not,
it.
Not worth it.
Don't
and Joey seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He looks like a little kid who wished on a genie mm-hmm. to be the greatest baseball player of all time. He looks like a little kid's face who just has the most like action figure arms of all time.
And immediately it's like bloop, 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 yep. and just grew right into it. And that's what it sounded
like.
And
he's like, I want to be the best pitcher. I want to be the best hitter. And the genie was like, sure, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah
you can do that. And here's
you can
a little
do that.
Fun.
That's what the genie said.
Genie, yeah, this is my genie impression. Yeah, dude. Yeah, you can do that.
The way he said that, I'm like,
yeah, you can
is
do that
what the genie's? Genie's like, yeah, all good, dude. All good. Yeah, you can do that.
Like, do not worry about it. I so got you.
I totally
I got
you
covered,
on
dude.
That, dude.
But a cool little fact about Shohei Ohtani. Steve, in case you didn't see, he was the first pitcher to be hitting in the top four spots of a lineup at Fenway Park since 1919. George Herman Ruth.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be Bobby McFaddy.
No, McFaddy in 1919?
Oh, he was
McFaddy
1920.
Started
he was 20.
In 1920.
He was 20. Yeah, my bad.
He was
my
the
bad,
class
my bad.
Of 20.
Bobby McFaddy. That was 1920. My yeah. bad. My bad. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because like...
You batted fifth, dude.
Most of them... Yeah, that's true. It was out of the top four. We all know this. Most of the Shohei stats are kind of like, well, yeah. Like... Like, yeah. I can assume as much. It's not like, I'm trying to picture who else would have come in here. It's not like CC Sabathia was in cleanup for the Indians. Like, what are we talking about? So I get it. Like, I think it's cool. But also, Joey, like, a big part of this Shohei, like, mania, whatever, I don't know if it has an official name, is that these things normally matter more when you're removed from it. Like, the fact that we're in it right now and it's happening and it's at, like, it's... You know, he's really cooking and has a chance to be back-to-back MVP at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. When you're in the middle of it, it's a little harder to, like, really appreciate it. Once we get removed from the Shohei era, I think we'll be able to be like, wow, that was absolutely
right
insane.
Now?
I feel it, but, like, everyone says it, so it's I'm always the guy that's like, everybody shut up, like, enough. Like, we're all saying the same stuff, so enough.
It's like you're too close to the forest to see the trees.
Yeah, it's like a too close to the forest to see the leaves.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like, you know, the phrase. So it's, I don't know. I think it's, I go back and forth on this like a lot of things. I'm, you know, Hypocrite Steve, that's what they call me. But like I get it more when I see it live. Like seeing Shohei in person, the only times I've seen him are at the All-Star game and here. And... The swarms of fans are justified because, you know, and partially to your point here, he's just has this kind of presence to him that's like, wow, look at this guy.
It felt like Beatlemania over there
by
the bullpen. I mean, the amount of people who are holding up signs, like, you know, yelling things to him in Japanese, trying to, like, you know, flag him down for a picture.
Yeah.
Like, people fighting their way through the crowd to try to get a picture and just, it was pretty crazy, man. I mean, I don't go to many, like, popular concerts, you know. I'm not going and seeing Drake in concert or whatnot.
I don't see you as a go to the Drake concert guy. That's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's what it's like.
Yeah.
That was like rock star stuff, man. He is very cool. And I'm sure if you're on the Red Sox or any opposing team, that only kind of adds to everything, you know?
I mean, it's cool to see. Obviously, you don't want him to come into Fenway and just shove. And that's what he did. He came in and shoved. But like,
He did.
But it's like, there's not many players that get that reaction. I haven't seen that since Pedro. Like on Pedro Day, it was legitimately swarms around the bullpen. It's a little different because their bullpen's obviously, not as close to the seats. It's on the other side. But it was a different buzz on Pedro Day, obviously. But that's been a long time. I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. I haven't seen anything like this in over two decades, and that's what he brings to the table. So Shohei deals today. Red Sox bats don't get going. Tanner Houck ends up with seven earned runs.
Dude, okay.
I didn't know he got seven attached to his.
Yeah,
I mean, Cutter's been terrible. So
Cutter, I said this to you during the game, dude. But Cutter wearing 50.
I don't even care.
So terrible.
I don't even care.
It's just because it's the. I don't know. It's not the first, but there's still just this like.
I don't even care.
You don't care at all.
I don't care. It's Mookie. Obviously, we're not going to do a whole Mookie segment, but I will go to my grave not being convinced that he was going to stay here.
No, it's not that. It's just that.
So that's why it doesn't matter.
There's the. Sure. I knew. It's not that I'm like, oh man, Mookie could be out there wearing that right now.
Yeah.
It's just the. That dude.
I'm pretty good with the jersey numbers. When I see 50, I still think Mike Timlin. Because I mean, he had a huge impact on this team. Talk about a reliable reliever. They should bring Timlin back now.
Well, then you should still be offended that Cutter Crawford's wearing 50.
Yeah, no, I'm offended at Crawford wearing 50 because he took Mike Timlin's number. I love Tim. We got to get Mike Timlin on this show. That'd be great. But yeah, if you bring back Mike Timlin right now, I think he would fix the bullpen. I really do. You know who would fix the bullpen?
Mike
Garrett
Timlin.
Whitlock.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Whitlock.
Want to dive into that?
He has three starts on the year. Mm-hmm. The Red Sox are 0-3 in those starts. And here's the deal. All right. I think a lot of people would agree. I think actually, let's be honest, Joey, the Whitlock thing I think has gotten more reactions of like, he should be the closer. He should be this guy. He should be that guy. I think it's actually kind of split down the board here of like what people think he should be. Honestly, we should just put a poll up on the old ITM page. But I think it's pretty obvious at this point, having him as a starter is not the best way to use him.
It's not the answer.
And it's hard for us to sit up here and be like, is Cora just not like realizing he should be? I mean, the amount of discussions that must be going on, whether it's amongst Heim, Cora, whoever, has to be lengthy of what to do with Garrett Whitlock, because I truly think that Whitlock doesn't give a damn where he pitches, when he pitches, the amount of pitches he throws. He really gives off the vibe of, I'm going out there to get whoever you need me to get out, and I'll come back in and I'll do it again tomorrow if you need it. Like, I really think he gives off that energy. So considering the player doesn't mind, which is a big part of this too. I feel like people aren't talking about that part of it. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's okay with this, a lot of guys wouldn't be.
Yeah, because that could be the issue. Like, imagine if I'm not saying it. Like, it could be the issue right now. I'm saying there's potential for like that to have
insert,
been the problem.
Insert other,
you know,
version of him that could be a problem.
Yeah, multiverse, other dimension. Garrett Whitlock could be like, no, I don't want to start. I don't want to, or whatever. You know,
yeah.
I don't know that. That's
imagine,
probably backwards.
Imagine him saying, "I don't want to start, dude.
I don't want to start. I want to just at a moment's notice jump up and pitch. God knows how many innings.
Yeah, I'll maybe close for you, but like I'm not starting for your ass. Like, no way.
Are we in?
But no, he's always.
You know what I mean? That could be an issue that you face, and it's not, and you're super lucky because that's not the case. But you have to wonder what the conversation is or what the holdup is or whatever, because now it's been four starts?
I think three. Three
starts, and the Sox are 0-3 in those three starts.
He had Tampa, Toronto, and here, right? I think that'll do it.
Yes. Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, it's again... I'm going to find a way to say the proof is in the pudding every episode. The proof's in the pudding. It's this guy is needed the most in those multi-inning bullpen appearances. And I don't think there's any denying that. Like, the biggest thing becomes who you put then in the rotation, which it's going to sound a little silly to say right now, but Tanner Houck would probably be the lead for the guy that would then go in the rotation instead of Whitlock. And, you know, I know they've been pairing Houck with Rich Hill. Rich Hill, by the way, has been great.
Why?
Yeah, he's
not why is he great, but like, but why? Because Rich Hill's last two starts have been essentially hitless. They've been one hits.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're both five innings, right?
Yeah.
And both times, well, he was. You I didn't was, get what, the feeling four, that he was slowing
and a third
down
in Baltimore. Yeah, I mean it's.
I don't know if you need Houck piggybacked right there.
No.
It seems to make total sense. Just like Houck was in the rotation, put him back in the rotation. It's more like, it's not what do you need to do, because the answer's there. It was there, you know, a couple weeks ago, right? When things were flowing fine and the bullpen was putting up better numbers than they're doing. The rotation was doing better than it was. Like, just put it back. It wasn't broken. Didn't need fixing. To reassemble. But like you said, there's got to be a reason, right? There's got to be a conversation beyond that seems obvious.
Part of it was how couldn't pitch in Toronto.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's obviously it's, you know, you only have so many guys that can start games. And the current format of the Red Sox, I don't think you're going to do the opener thing. Imagine the bullpen for nine innings. Like, it's hard enough for four. So you can't afford to do the opener thing. You're going to need guys. And I mentioned this in another show earlier, but you're going to need the starters to go deeper. I know they don't want them to face the lineup three times, but at a certain point, I would way rather trust in Eovaldi. Eovaldi's maybe not a good example because he goes the longest of these guys, but even Pivetta, Tanner Houck is tough today. Rich Hill, I'd rather have him facing guys longer, you know? And the way Walk is pitching, I'd rather have him stay in there longer than having four-plus innings of a bullpen where who do we trust the most out of the bullpen when Garrett Whitlock's not out there?
Austin Davis, Matty Strom.
Matty Strom is probably the answer.
Yeah.
Matty Strom should probably be the closer. And I'm always of the belief that if you don't have a closer, you don't have a closer. It's not like, name that guy a closer. You can't just like name a closer. Either have a closer or you don't.
Right.
And the Red Sox don't. So I know stats and other people are like, oh, just make Strom the closer. You think he's a closer, though?
You're saying a closer isn't something you become. It's something you're born as.
You are born a closer. You just have closer DNA or you don't.
Right.
And the Red Sox, I don't think, have a guy that has closer DNA.
The Yankees didn't, like, decide.
Yeah. It's not like Mariano was just, like, kind of starting games, kind of in the middle. He's a closer. Yeah. Like, I'm sure, I think earlier on he did start a little bit, but Mariano obviously earned that spot. He had closer DNA. He had the most dominant closer pitch in the history of the game. The Red Sox don't have that guy. And I'm saying they don't have that guy because everybody that keeps saying Garrett Whitlock should be the closer, you shut your mouth. You shut your mouth. He's too important to be a one-inning guy. It just, that can't happen. So I think there's a lot of issues for the Red Sox right now. The Garrett Whitlock situation is obviously at the top of mind for a lot of Sox fans. I think it's simple. I think what you had him doing as the long inning bullpen guy, and let's even call it a couple innings, right? So you can use him more often. If you can get these starters through six, I know that's asking for a lot, and have Whitlock take 7-8, and then Matty Strom, Davis, find a way to close these games out. Hopefully it's not a one-run game at that point. Hopefully the Sox offense has given you a little something where you can have a 3-4, God forbid, a 5-run lead. I think that's the answer, and you just go from there. This sucks, man.
Yeah, this sucks.
I mean, it's we're in a position where it's like, Joey, I gotta say,
we're in how do we fix it mode.
The Sox are 10-16.
Yep.
And this is the first year of our program, first year of hopefully many years of Inside the Monster. And it's tough, man.
No, it absolutely.
They're 10-16.
I mean, we want the same thing you guys all want for obvious reasons. I mean, the number one being just being fans of the team, but also just, I mean,
one thing real quick. Sorry to cut you off. I wanted to say this earlier, but Rich Hill. So I saw stats tweeted out. Rich Hill has pitched 22 innings this year. The Red Sox have given him 5 runs of support. That ranks bottom 10% for starting pitchers. None of the Red Sox starters have above average run support. So I still think this all starts with the lineup. If you're cooking, if Story's cooking, if the big three are cooking, if Dahlbeck's giving you something, if these guys that are from five on, I look at Verdugo as a guy that really needs to pick it up. I understand, of course, we've talked about it, unlucky. You can say unlucky as long as you possibly want. At a certain point, those have to become dingers. At a certain point, you got to find the gap. At a certain point, you got to start getting a hit streak going. And if that becomes the case, then I think we don't have as many conversations about Diekman needing to hold a one-run game in the ninth inning.
You know who looked good today, who kind of falls into that same category as
Nobody.
Jackie?
Oh, Jackie actually had a good game.
Yeah, I mean, he had a double that he definitely stretched. He worked for. He
was hitting ropes off of Shohei. He was the only guy hitting him hard. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, he had that catch out in deep center that he just did not react to whatsoever.
No, and then,
I mean, obviously the tough Shohei hit that we're not going to talk about. But I mean, he's still Jackie defensively. That's not changed at all. Any offense from him feels good. Even if it's one leadoff double, you go, hey.
The dude's hitting like 420 at Fenway this year. Like, he's been the greatest Fenway hitter of all time. So if he can keep hitting at a high rate at home games, then I'll take it. Like, that's the thing. I heard somebody around me today saying, like, pick it up, Jackie. We expect more from you.
Why?
No, we don't. Like, this is exactly, like, this is more than I would expect from JBJ. Yeah. He's hitting over 400 at Fenway. And he's, you know, minus the sun getting in the way, minus the big old ball of fire messing him up, he's been the surest glove that you could expect him to be. So
the big old ball of fire, is that what you were raised calling it?
The sun. Yeah. Everyone say the sun. I'm like, what even does that mean? I call it the big old ball of fire.
Oh, you mean BBOF?
The BBOF. Like, I don't know. The sun. The sun? What are you even talking about? You know how upset I was, Joey, that both my series predictions were right and it didn't even matter? Like, it was the Xander one.
I don't
want to
talk about your series.
It was like the majestic homer. He does a little walk around. It's like, that's exactly what I'm asking for and calling for.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives you an eighth inning lead, and then you blow it. I got to say about Hansel, Hansel.
Yeah.
Hansel Robles is back to exactly where I envision him in my brain. Which is, I don't trust this guy. When he's in,
it was quick.
It happened fast. When he had the 20 straight scoreless, I'm like, this is not what my brain sees. Like, that's not what I feel when he comes in. Now it's kind of back to that, you know, nibbling. And if he could, Robles has got to stop complaining about pitches that aren't even close.
He got squeezed
on like one or two in Baltimore. And then when Trout was up the other night, ball four was wide by like half a foot, and he's looking it. I hate when pitchers do the tilted head look at the ump. No. That pitch wasn't even close. You don't get to do the tilted head thing when it wasn't even close. Like, if anything, the Sox got screwed. My real beef was the called strike three on Bobby in the ninth inning.
We're going to disagree there. I don't know.
That's a ball, dude. What are you talking about?
It was enough of a ball. I don't know.
Bobby doesn't protect that well with two strikes. And I understand people saying that. Yeah. It's like, oh, he should be swinging. I get it. Protect the plate, all that crap.
Yeah.
That ball is low and away. You can get one of them. You can't get both. Low and away. Doesn't help that the catcher's coming up to throw out Vasquez on the steal attempt.
Right.
But either way, I think the Sox got kind of screwed there. But I don't know. It always seems to be Bob in those situations. So it's... I do get the pattern. I understand that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it stinks. I don't even know where we go from here.
You got to beat the Sox. You got to beat the Sox.
Yes,
got to beat the Sox.
I understand that the team has to go. I'm saying,
I'm going to dinner tonight. I'm going to eat later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what are you thinking about eating later? I don't know. I'm kind of feeling pizza a little bit.
On Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, that's a classic Cinco de Mayo plate. pizza.
You could argue pizza is kind of like, it's like a fajita with tomato and cheese on it.
100%. You know, like you could argue that, and I wouldn't stop you.
Yeah. I think I'm going to, I don't know, maybe just drink alone or something.
Yeah. It's tough, man. I don't know. What else really stuck out? I mean, the Whitlock thing is huge. The Red Sox lineup, I mean, Trevor Story, going into it, too, I was doing the ITM 60 on Story Has to Get Going, and then it really looked like it was going to be the case. But, you know, you can't close the series. It's tough. Like, this is the sour taste in your mouth, Sox. Like, the second you feel good about this team, they slap you in the face.
This feels kind of like, you know, let's say... Ladies, you'll agree with me here, okay?
Where is this going? Ladies, like, you'll all agree with me.
It's like you say to your man, like, hey, I feel like you're going out with your friends kind of a lot. You know, why don't you stay in sometimes, you know? I feel like we could spend some time together, you know? And then he's like, oh, baby, yeah, I didn't realize you felt that way. Yeah. Of course, I'll stick around and whatever. And that Friday night, he's there. And then you're like, wow. It stuck. I wished it, and it happened, and here we are. It's Friday night, and we're together. And then you wake up Saturday morning, and he's gone. And he's like, I'm in Vegas for 3 months, baby. I'll be back.
That's exactly what the socks are. I was going to say it. You took the words out of my mouth. I'm in Vegas, baby.
I'm in Vegas, baby, and I'm not coming back.
And I'm not
it's
coming
like I
back.
Thought things had changed, bro. I don't know. I definitely felt that way with the story. That was some real whiplash. Because I was printing the T-shirts. I was coloring the T-shirts at home with my crayons.
I know. But yeah, another series loss, man. I mean, again, same old same. The last four three-game series, they've won the first game and then lost the second two. The last two, whatever. I don't give a damn.
Cares,
I'm so
man.
Upset, man.
Whatever.
Who cares, man? That'll be the name of this episode.
Who cares?
It sucks so much because, like, we're doing everything in our power to make this the greatest show of all time. And Joey, I think we're doing a great job. We're filming segments at the park, talking with the players, talking with the people that work for the Sox, the fine folks. Down the board, too, you got Kelsey, Justin, Brian, Abby, who am I forgetting? Kellen. They're all great. These are great people. And we all want to just enjoy great times. And that's what probably sucks the most is that it doesn't really – and people are going to say that I'm full of it right here – doesn't feel like they're that far off.
I know. I hate that.
That's what sucks. And I know the final score is 8-0 today, but it was 0-0 in the seventh inning.
But you're also – it's the numbers that make it hurt more because it does feel like, oh, no. There's been good moments, man.
Yeah.
You know, we're not the Reds. Like, hey, there are moments that feel good. But then you look at that board over there, Steve, and we're 8.5 games behind the Yankees.
It's the first week of May, man. I mean,
I'm just saying. I understand. Like, oh, it's too early to be looking.
I'm saying it's the first week of May,
fast.
And you're 8.5 back.
Yeah.
I'm saying it the bad way. It's way too fast. So I think it was TC that had this one. The Sox are 0-5 in extra innings, and they had the lead in the eighth inning or later of all of those games. Like, that is just brutal.
That's one of those stats you hear and you believe. You're like, yeah, sure, I bet.
Yeah, I totally get it. But anyone listening at home, the one thing I'll tell you is don't be the person, and I think there's less of these people now that, you know, they're 10-16. The worst thing you can do is be like, oh, if they just flip those, right? If they were just 5-0 in extra innings. They're not. They're 0-5. And it feels like they're 0-5. They've gotten walked off on by every team in the AL East. The Angels came in here. They should have lost the series. They won the series. Red Sox and Tampa should have won the series. They lost the series. And this is just over and over and over again. In Toronto, I was weirdly enough just happy to get one W. That team is going to be rolling this summer. The Yankees are obviously unstoppable right now. So forget about the division. Just actually try to win a couple games here, win a series, beat the White Sox this weekend, if that's at all possible. The White Sox aren't even that good a team, right? They're around 500, but they're better than those Sox are better than these Sox. They're 11-13.
They're underperforming too. I mean, they were supposed to be
hotter
out of the gate.
Couple underperforming teams at Fenway this weekend. One last
come on down.
One last thing from today, and this is just Stevie Gripes coming out here, but there were a couple of fans in front of us.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Just stink. There's this one lady that did, oh, my God, just one of the worst things you can say. They had just given up the sixth and seventh runs of the game. Sox are down.
I think Cutter was coming in, right?
So he came in and he gave up a couple runs of Hauks. Hauks runs come in.
I thought
in.
It was like during the pitching change, like while he was warming up.
Oh, no, it was literally right after he gave up a single that drove in two. Sox are down 7-0. And this lady's been brutal the whole game. Been getting up and standing up, goofing with her friends, going down to get drink, coming back up. Just
one man cheering.
Didn't give a damn about what was going on, but has the audacity to say, I wrote this down. She goes, where's the crowd support? This wouldn't be happening if we had the crowd support. What are you talking about? They're down 7-0. She's trying to start a Let's Go Red Sox chant. Team's down 7-0.
And they weren't a couple minutes ago.
Shut up.
You know?
Like, yeah. I just can't. There are certain fans that drive me nuts. There's this dude a little further down, standing up the whole time, doing the thing where he's on the phone trying to get his butt. No, come down, man. No, you come here. I'm not going. You come here. As the game's going on behind you, just sit down.
It's one of those situations where you want everybody around you to care as much as you do, you know?
But care calmly. Like, If it's a tense situation, base is loaded, I don't care if you're standing up cheering. I don't care if you're trying to stunt. Let's go Red. I don't care. That's great. It's 7-0 Angels.
Well, no, I mean, you, Steve, and me as well, you want the people around you to care as much about the team as you do so that they are, like, also not in cheering mode when down 7-0.
But the care
you know?
Is just misguided is what
it's
I'm
totally,
saying.
It's totally misguided.
It's all over the place, and it's like...
It's also those kind of people you know wear it as a badge of honor.
Oh,
that
my
they
God.
Tell their buddies, like, I don't care if the Red Sox are losing 7-0. I'm still going to get up and cheer. Don't be proud of that. Don't be proud of
no,
that.
No, don't be.
Because the people around you who like live and die by the team are so
you look like
upset.
A doofus. Don't and also so don't, never that. Challenge like your fellow fan. Like don't challenge your fellow
fan. Come on,
fans,
guys, stand up.
Fan, what are you doing? No, what are you doing? You're standing up and it's 7-0.
Everyone
right,
is
my,
sitting.
That's my flip out. I had to like raise the volume a little bit. That lady drove me nuts, man.
I know. You were. I
oh
came over and you were
God.
Irritated. I mean,
well,
she was
like,
doing
she
that.
Went down to the dugout.
I think somebody also like lit up a cigarette right behind you.
Oh my
you.
God, the dude next to us reeked of cigs, and yeah. I'm like, I'm trying to have a good day here with my girlfriend and my dad, and like, the everyone around us stunk. But no, I mean, it lines up with how this has gone. So it's just been an annoying season,
yeah.
And you know, we can say everything we want about oh, they got to do this, they got to do that. They just got to win ball games. I think it's as simple as that. You got to get the bats going. You got to have guys in the bullpen that you don't rely upon, like Diekman and Robles right now. And go down the list. I mean, Davis had a good stretch there, but then gives up a bomb. Matty backpacks. I mean, it's been very tough for Barnes. And he, dude, I'll give him credit. He wears it in the postgame.
Oh, my God. Does he ever?
He wears it.
He just says it. He just says it, man. Like,
he's like, I suck. Like yeah, he just wears it. So it's hard for me to be like, oh, Matty has to be bad. He knows it.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't need to say it.
Yeah, he's well aware. When the knuckle curve is working, it's vicious. But you know, you got Ward up there sitting on a 3-1 fastball, and he gets it right down the middle.
Yeah, I know.
And launches it. And crazy to think that Red Sox lose that game 10-5 on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Really crazy to think that you know Ward pops that ball up. So all the Sox got to do is get the guy in from second, which they've shown they don't like doing. They don't like getting that guy in from second and extras, so who knows if that actually happens. But, Joey, that's all I got for this series, man. I don't know.
I don't want to talk about it anymore. What I do want to talk about actually is – it's a lie. I do want to say the highlight of this series for me was Ek and Uke directly next to you right over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about the slutter.
Oh, the there you go.
Cutter,
that's their favorite.
They're like, oh, it's kind of like a slutter.
Which
and they
just
giggle
feels
about
like,
it.
Yeah, feels like it shouldn't be on air.
Yeah, no, 100%. And then Ek goes, dirty. And then
bogey
and
a bomb.
And then bogey bomb. Yeah, that was great. That was a real highlight for me. That's a moment I'll look back on fondly and then remember what happened immediately after it and stop thinking of it so fondly. But that was my highlight. Beyond that, I'd like to talk about just like anything else.
No, I got you. I mean, you know I'm feeling down when like I brought a new pair of kicks to the ballpark today. It's my 99 All-Star Game sneakers. And I didn't even take one picture of these. I didn't put the ballpark kicks up.
Wow.
Like, times are tough, man.
Can you believe that?
Times are tough. You know, we did the whole promo about if you're out, stay out. Those people are laughing at us right now. Like, times are tough. Again, if you're tuning in, you're in the same mode as us, you're looking for, you know, a reason for why this is going to turn around, they're going to have to find it. The Red Sox are going to have to find some kind of rhythm, some kind of pace. I'm done saying this is as bad as it's going to get. The more that we say it, the worse it gets. So, done doing that. What we're going to do now is preview Sox Sox. That is coming up next.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Alrighty, we are back. Red Sox are hosting the other Sox this weekend at Fenway Park. Joey, what's the pitching matchup?
Oh! Okay, we got a three-game series at Fenway Park between the Sox and the Sox. Expect more of those jokes coming right up. Yeah. Game one is going to be Vince Velasquez versus Nathan Eovaldi. Vince Velasquez is a right-hander who comes into the series with a 4.58 ERA. He's in the 10th percentile in average...
He's in the what?
He's in the 10th percentile in average exit velocity, 15th in hard hit percentage, 12th in on-base average, 5th in slugging, 7th in barrel percentage. In other words, people love hitting baseballs that come out of his hand and like hitting them hard. He throws a four-seamer, a curve, a slider, a changeup, and a sinker, and that slider is getting absolutely demolished. It's getting hit at a 571 clip. That's the slug. At a 571 slug.
It was getting hit at 571.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, no, it's just a slider system, but he insists on still throwing it, man. He throws it 17% of the time. So thank you ahead of time for that one, Vince. Nathan Eovaldi comes in with a 2.51 and 32 strikeouts on the year. He went 7 innings in Baltimore in his last appearance, allowing 3 hits, no runs, and 8 strikeouts. Game 2 is against the White Sox again. It's Nick Pivetta.
Game 2 is against the Braves.
Nick Pivetta versus... He's back, guys. TBD.
TBD. Damn, they're going to face TBD in this
again.
One.
No. Nick Pivetta comes in with a... spicy 784 ERA.
It's coming down, though.
That's good. Currently leading the league in losses with 4 and leading the league in earned runs with 18.
Oof.
He allowed 3 in 4 1/3 in Baltimore. TBD, we all know. Kind of goes without saying. We all know.
Yeah, filthy.
Yeah. Game 3, speaking of filthy, Michael Wach. What more can you say? Comes in with a 1.38 ERA. He is a former NLCS great. He also will be opposite TBD.
Yes. Perfect.
And that is your pitching preview. Steve.
Sox weather update. Friday night, 7:10 first pitch. We're looking at a 24% chance of rain. As you guys could have guessed, the winds are going to be coming in from the east at 13 miles an hour, obviously.
Holy cow, 32 miles an hour?
13.
Oh, jeez. Like, are we having a tropical storm?
The winds are going to be coming in at 80 miles an hour.
There's going to be a tornado
the
between the bottom of the sixth, top of the eighth, somewhere
so
in there.
So just get underneath the seats for that one. Duck and cover. 47 degrees. At first pitch, it's going to be a cool one. It was warm today. I thought it was going to be a little warmer, but it was still a nice day at the old ball yard Thursday outside of the results. Saturday, first pitch, 4:10. You were looking at low 50s. It is going to be windy on Saturday. Another low percentage chance of rain. Sunday, the game's at 11:30 in the morning, which is insanely bizarre. I don't love it from the sole point of, like, let Marathon Monday be the only one that's the morning game. I don't love some random Sunday against the Sox.
This one's also important from, like, a, you know, from another standpoint, you know?
Mother's Day? But like, why
Peacock bought the rights to have morning games, so.
But why?
That's why.
Is it
because
they do
important.
It for the Premier League? Is that, like, their thing? I don't know.
Yeah, it's actually, yeah. I mean, they are seeing good numbers in the morning. So you got to support NBC, man.
I guess. So it's going to be on Sunday, low 50s again. It's not going to rain, but weather-wise, I'd definitely say bring a jacket this series. It's not going to be the warmest weekend at the old ball yard this weekend. Series predictions, I just got one. Someone's going to hit a triple. I don't know who it's going to be. I was 2-for-2 in series predictions coming into this Angels series. Let's keep it rolling. Somebody hits a triple. What do you got, Joey?
Nothing. But I do have a closing thought if you want to jump right to that. I don't want to have a prediction. I don't want to have anything on my mind when I watch these games. I'm going to come in smooth-brained. I'm going to sit down like a Neanderthal with a bowl of cheese and just shove serotonin into my brain, whether it likes it or not. And no predictions, no thoughts.
Coming up next, our slide in the DM segment and closing thoughts. Coming up next on Inside the Monster.
You're listening to Inside the Monster.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Inside the Monster. How annoying would that be?
Bad voice?
Annoying would that be? All right, first one comes in from Mike.
What up,
Mike?
Mike's dog's name is Nomar. What's up, Mike? That's not the DM. What's the best Lunchable? Pizza or not pizza? Pizza Lunchables.
Not pizza. The sauce is all wrong.
This comes in from TA.
What's up?
Tough times for the Sox, guys. Let's try to bring the positive vibes. Nope. I have to ask, is Kevin Plawecki the best pitcher on this Red Sox staff? Obviously. He's got a 0 ERA.
Far from the worst.
Like, of course he's the best pitcher on the staff. I would say...
Well, until Brock inevitably joins this team.
If the Sox move Whitlock to the bullpen and put Plawecki in the starting rotation, that fixes all your problems.
It also would not shock me.
At this point. And the second part of this DM here, what is your favorite... Oh, no. Oh, this is great. It's not that funny. What is your favorite happy Red Sox memory? In parentheses, to bring the vibes up. I love that.
Can we talk about something happy, guys?
We just got to talk happy. What's your favorite happy Red Sox memory, Joey?
My most recent one, I was here with my dad in the DS last year when Vasquez hit the walk-off over the Monster, and Vasquez is my dad's favorite player. So that was a nice little moment.
Mine was with my dad, too. Game one of the 2013 World Series. Going with my dad. It's just a cool thing to be at the World Series with my dad. Yeah, it was awesome. And the Sox blew out the Cards.
Yeah.
And then a very, very close second is David Ortiz grand slam against the Tigers. It comes in from Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Time, he didn't even spell it right, or just, you know, say the whole phrase right here. Time panic or not?
Time panic or not panic? I think time whatever.
I think time panic little. I think considering that we're not going to use all the words, time panic little.
Time panic sometimes.
Tom, time panic little. This comes in
I think you're correct, actually. I do want to say that.
Time panic little.
Yeah.
This comes in from J Money.
Hey, man.
How about Brock Holt, 30 miles an hour off the mound? Why can't he be in this rotation?
I mean, I think we just kind of touched on it. We're all thinking it. Heim.
Brock. This comes in from McKinley.
Hello.
Waka may be a former NLCS great, but he's in the running for this year's Cy Young. You're not wrong, my guy.
That's correct, but I think when they present him the award, because it's not an if, really, is it?
At this point, no. At this point, he's going to probably win MVP. Forget about Cy Young.
Yeah, when they give him all the awards that he's going to inevitably win at the end of this year, they're going to announce him as Michael Waka, former NLCS great. Please come collect all your hardware.
100%. 3-0 with a 1.38 ERA is Michael Walker. He's got a 0.92 whip.
Mm-hmm.
This man that has a career 4.07 ERA has a 1.38 this year. Michael Walker has been dealing, and as we all know, he is a former NLCS great. Last one comes in from Aaron.
Aaron or Aaron?
Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, A-A-Ron.
Aaron.
Slide in the DMs question. Due to the Celtics being in the playoffs right now, what would be your starting five of all-time Red Sox players? At center? Who do I have at center? Let's just do a combined one here. Center?
Trying to get somebody off this lineup. I think the tallest player on this team is Bob, right? Or, well, I guess like
Bob
Sale.
I'd probably have Bob as like... No, we're doing all-time Sox players. Bob's at 140. Yeah. I can't have him on this team. I would say for center in Red Sox history, this is an interesting one. I'm trying to think of some of the tallest players that they've had. Not many. There's not many that come to mind.
No.
It's crazy how many of the Sox players are just not tall. Or not like specifically, not like noticeably tall.
I mean, Sale is probably...
Yeah, but he get beat around down there.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have Canseco. I mean, I feel like any list, we should just put Jose Canseco on it.
Sure.
Jose Canseco's our center. Mm-hmm. Point guard, I would love to have... I'd love to have JBJ, guy that's got a cannon. He's got good hand-eye. I think JBJ would move the ball around well. I'm going to have him as a guard. Two guard, guy that can shoot. Nomar can shoot.
Oh, Nomar can shoot.
Nomar can shoot. He's
Nomar
a two.
Would have a big like a big sweatband.
Oh, 100%. He'd do the armband probably.
Yeah.
So we got JBJ, Nomar, Canseco's our center. We need basically a couple of forwards. We need a shooting forward, power forward. Let's see, small forward. Who you got? Who comes to mind? I mean, typically we stick with like the last 20
years. Dude, I'm
trying
to build a basketball lineup. I don't know what a small forward is.
Small forward.
I don't know who.
You could probably have Beltre. You could have Beltre as a small forward.
Sure, sounds great.
He's got that size. And then power forward. Think of like a Tim Duncan. Like who would be a Tim Duncan?
Mo Vaughn.
Mo Vaughn. Yeah, so that's our team. We got Jackie bringing the ball up. Nomar's the two guard. Adrian Beltre as the small forward. Mo's our power forward, just plowing guys. And Canseco's just swatting everything and flexing after he swats it. That's all we got for sliding the DMs. Your closing thought, Joey? Sox.
Mike Sox, yeah. No, my thought's not really about the Sox. Parking should be free everywhere for everyone. And if I'm elected... I would make parking free for everyone.
Parking would be free for everybody.
It should be included in anything that you're going to, anywhere you're, because it's like, how am I supposed to get there then, you know? It's like, well, you're here, but now you got to put your thing somewhere. So, well, this is the thing that got me here. So can't I just like leave it here? It's like, well, not
that's
for free.
That's why I take the train. I take the T to the games.
Yeah, well, they don't
I know
have
they
a
don't
train
have
a from
that goes
Manchester.
To Manchester. Yeah, I'm just saying, a lot of people take other... transportation.
It's I hate having to get creative with how I get places. I'm like, well, if I stop in Lowell, I think there's a bus that runs out to Framingham.
I love your impression
and
of yourself.
Framingham. this is what my brain is doing, and I hate that my brain sounds like my Uncle
like,
Tony.
Yeah, grab a bus over here. That brings you to the train. That gets you to Fenway Park.
And then the next thing you know, yeah, I'm Uncle Tony Capone in my head, and I don't want to be.
Tony
but
Capone,
yeah,
that should have been your name.
I have three Uncle Tonys.
That's hilarious.
Tony Capone's. So yeah, parking should be free. That's my only thought, man. Just inconveniences that just make the day a little bit worse. You know, like you leave the ball yard, you're like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, tough day, but I'm gonna go home and, you know, smoke 30 beers. And
yeah, of course, that's what people do.
And you walk out the door and you're like, oh, wait, I have to pay $111 for where I parked or whatever.
No, you know? I hear you. I mean, the dude sitting next to us smelled like he smoked 30 beers. I mean, it was, my God, that was brutal. Closing thought, I'm a big Aaron Judge guy. That's my closing thought. I've always really liked Aaron Judge, and it's like, I don't like talking about it because he's, I don't know if you guys know, he plays for the Yankees, and yet I think he does everything correctly.
You don't think that hug with that kid was awkward?
No. The moment with the kid, so he hits the bomb. I'm sure you've all seen it by now. Blue Jays fan gets it, gives it to the kid with the Judge shirt. Kid cries. They hug. And then, you know, I think I don't know if the Yankees set it up, the Jays probably set it up. Who knows? Kid gets to meet Aaron Judge in the dugout the next day. He meets the guy. Blue Jays guy gets a George Springer autographed jersey. That's what I love. I'm not going to say the most about baseball, because the thing I love most about baseball is when the Sox are winning ball games.
Boom.
But that moment was so cool. That whole thing was just awesome. Like,
it was great.
It was, and it was natural. It wasn't forced. The dude immediately turns around, gives it to the kid, and that's going to be the coolest moment of that kid's baseball life, probably. I mean, he gets an Aaron Judge home run ball. Imagine being a kid. If I was like 8 years old and I got a Nomar home run ball, are you kidding me? I'd still be talking about that. I'd be talking about that 20 years later.
If you do, this is like a little tough to actually pull off. You got to just kind of root that it happens. You can't like actively try it. But this guy kind of hit the jackpot. Where like, if you catch a Raffy home run, you got to give it to a kid with a Raffy shirt on.
I know, but do you think that guy knew that he had Judge on the back of his shirt? He probably just saw Yankees.
I think either way, it's like the kid, the only kid in proximity. You know what I mean?
Oh, I hear, but I'm saying, do you think he knew? He probably didn't know. It worked out well for the Jays guy,
assume,
right?
I mean, I don't know. I think there's a pretty large percentage of kids' Yankee shirts are Judge shirts.
The two shirts in Major League Baseball that the highest percentage are of a certain player on that team, mm-hmm. it's probably Judge and Otani.
Yeah.
I would say if you have an Angel shirt, very highly likely Otani. I know that Mike Trout guy plays, even though he wussed out and didn't play in game three.
Loser.
Judge, I think, easily number one in terms of percentage of one specific player that's on the back of that team's shirt.
Right.
It's right. And something about the 99 is cool.
Yeah. And I don't know. A kid, too. Like, is a child walking around with a Gleyber Torres shirt?
Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. I don't know.
Stanton, well, I mean, I get Stanton plays, too. Yeah. If you're a kid and you look up to these guys, like, Aaron Judge checks all the boxes. The dude's huge, nice guy, hits bombs, robs home runs, has a good arm. Like, he's like the king of New York, basically. It's like he checks all the boxes of what you would look up to as a kid. So my closing thought is I don't shy away from admitting that I'm a big Aaron Judge guy. And that moment in Toronto was awesome. And the Red Sox need to start winning some ballgames.
It'll be easier to root for Aaron Judge next year when he's, you know, in Minnesota or whatever.
Yeah, when he teams up with Carlos Correa in Minnesota, who's definitely going to stay for his second year.
Yeah.
But that'll do it. That'll do it for episode 11. Anyone, you know, listening at home, listening in the car, we're there for you, you know? I mean, this can be a therapy session for you. We're going to have voicemail segments all season long, sliding the DMs all season long. We're going to be doing giveaways all season long, shooting the breeze with you guys at Fenway Park all season long. This is a show for us. The Red Sox are backing this show, and it's for us. It's for the people. It's for the fans. So times are tough right now, but we got to stick together. Because obviously when the going gets tough, you know the phrase. When the going gets tough,
you're
beat up.
Close to the forest to see the trees.
Also, when the going gets tough, you beat up on the White Sox.
Amen.
That'll do it for episode 11. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Perrault. Go Sox, kid.
Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Perrault. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.